Greetings to each one of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Cameron, I want to say thank you for what you shared this morning. As you were sharing that and the comment that it had, or the in the verse that it said that they have Moses and the prophets and Lazarus and the rich man all had the same need. And I asked myself the question, I said, what am I doing for those needs of those people? It's a little bit of where I'm going to go this morning. I want to have you take a minute, and the ones that are up front, you can look behind you. I want everybody to look and see how many people are sitting here and kind of get a picture of that amount of people. Now this morning I'm going to go to Luke chapter 10. And you can turn there. I'm going to actually read a good portion of this chapter. But I wanted you to see how many people sit in here to kind of get a picture of what was happening in this chapter. Because in this chapter that we're going to read about, Jesus just sent out 70 people, 70 to go out ahead of him. And I looked at the numbers up here before I came up, and it said about 60. And I figured, well, that was probably before Sunday school. So I figured we're probably pretty close to 70. So this gives you an idea of how many people Jesus sent out and then where it puts us here in Luke 10. They were sent out into the cities or into the villages to tell the people that Jesus was coming. Luke chapter 10. Let's go ahead and read. We'll start at verse 1. And it says, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. And salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house ye enter first, say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in the Tyre and Sidon, which had been done to you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Father is, but the Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out two pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, He that showed mercy on him. Jesus said, Go and do likewise. I'm going to stop right there. I wanted to read the first part of the chapter to give us a picture of what was happening and this group of 70 people that Jesus was sending out ahead of himself. He was sending them out to go out and to tell these villages that he was coming. And this isn't the only time that Jesus did this. And then these 70 came back and they were rejoicing at how they were able to cast out demons and how that the power that they had, and Jesus told them to rejoice that their names were written in the book of life. And then one of the people that were among these 70, it says that he tempted Jesus. If you look up that word tempted in the concordance, it is to be questioned. He questioned Jesus, and he had a good question. He asked them how to inherit eternal, how is he to inherit eternal life? And Jesus returned it with a question and asked him what the law said. And he replied with, Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's in verse 27. Now, if you look up that word love in the concordance, In the New Testament, there's two different ways that love is referred, that it, the description of love is. And one is agape love, and there's phileo love. And a good example of that one is in John 21:15. And this is something, as we were at our class the other week, it was brought out, and this was brought out. And it was very interesting, as Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And the response Peter gave him back would have been, Yes, Lord, I like you. That's the example of the two different loves. And the second time Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus said, Yeah, Lord, I like you. And then the third time Jesus goes, Peter, do you like me? And then it grieved Peter. And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. Jesus was asking Peter, do you have that unconditional love? And Peter was replying, I have a friend love. That same word love, the agape love, the unconditional love, that word love is here in this verse on how we are to love others and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then again, after that, the lawyer wanting to go a little further, and he said, Who is my neighbor? I get this picture. Jesus said, Jesus said, "You answered well." They came back feeling pretty good. I just, if you imagine, you all went out. We all went out on a missionary trip, and you come back and looking at what they had just gone through, and then they're all pretty excited. All of us have been out a lot of us have been out. You know, disaster care, different places, and you come back. It's pretty exciting. You're pretty pumped. But they come back and they're excited. And he asks his first question, and then he asks a second question. And then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was something that they could each one of them could relate very well to. If you looked at the road, first of all, if you look a little bit at the setting in verse 33 to 35, where they were traveling this road was dangerous. It was an isolated terrain, and people on this road were easy targets for bandits who would have plenty of hiding places to escape. As Jesus told this story, these people would easily recognize the danger that this trip posed. Walking from Jerusalem to Jericho would have been a semi-dry area, total barren and parched desert-like conditions. Trip would have been about 18 miles long, so you can imagine hiking in a desert from here to Achan. Be a pretty long journey, except that it wouldn't be flat like it is here. You'd have about 3,200 feet of elevation, so you would be changing. It would be pretty mountainous. A person robbed and beaten on this road would have been in a very vulnerable position. There would have been no food or water to recover, no shelter from the elements. The victim would be desperate for help. That's the road, the picture that Jesus left in this parable. Now let's look at the people that were traveling, the priests and the Levite. The priest was a descendant of Aaron. He had priestly responsibilities to the people. By passing by was a tangible way of saying he was unwilling to love his neighbor. The Levite was not Aaron's descendants and not a priest, but they assisted the priest, and this also showed his unwillingness as well. Now let's look at the Samaritans. First, Samaritans and Jews hated each other. They didn't have dealings together. In John 4:9, when Jesus met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Another one, the usual and shortest route for travelers from Judea to Galilee was through Samaria. However, the strict Jews, to avoid defilement, would opt a considerably longer route. They would cross the Jordan and travel on the east side just to avoid the Samaritans. Furthermore, the Samaritans would not have been expected to be sympathetic to the victim. The Samaritans were among the ones who would rob the Jews as they traveled this road headed to their holy days. This would make them the perpetrator, not the sympathetic, caring one. Yet, from this group would have been the one who had compassion and put himself out to save another person. If we look at the amount, the 2 denarii would have been around 2 days' wages. And then he offers to pay whatever it costs when he returned. Think with me for a second. Who would be your enemy? Or the closest person to it? Would you give up 2 days of pay for that person? Plus not just 2 days, but whatever it takes to help that person. Compassion. Let's look at the compassion of God. In Genesis 3:20, this is back in Genesis, and as I read Genesis about the fall of man, I've been intrigued. I keep going back there and I keep finding things that are interesting to me. In Genesis 3:20, when it says, the Lord said, behold the man, this is after he had told Adam and Eve because of what they had done and what would happen. Then he said to the angels, he said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He said, now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And if you look in your Bibles, I know in the King James Version it does, different versions, some versions stops with a colon, but different versions stop with a line. It was an unfinished sentence. I often took it as the punishment for man was to be pushed out of the garden, to be taken out of the garden. But there was a commentary on the bottom of my Bible, and it said, this sentence ending was almost like as God was saying, lest man take and eat of the tree of life and live forever. The thought of man living in this fallen state was too much. Kind of put a new light on the verse. Just the compassion of God. Man chose evil. Man chose separation from God. Yet, God was compassionate, and his compassion was greater than his anger. God showed himself to Moses. This is what God said in Exodus 34:5-6. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming or calling out, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Compassion is an attribute of God. Nehemiah the prophet describes God this way in Nehemiah 9:19. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine in the way they were to take. You gave their good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. God is compassionate. God is a God of unconditional love. These are attributes of God. These are things Satan is not. Jesus showed us his ultimate compassion and love by dying on the cross. He extended forgiveness to all, even those who mocked and crucified him. This morning, as I was sitting here, and I looked up behind, and behind me was a picture of the sheep. And I thought of the verse. And I can't find where the verse is, but it was the verse where Jesus said he saw the sheep as a sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion. So back to the question that the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? This question asked this way allows one to exclude responsibility for some people by making some people non-neighbors. Jesus' reply leaves no room to exclude anyone. Instead, it leaves us with a different question. How can I be a neighbor? By one question, we are moved to duty, the other by compassion. And the third thing this morning is to seek out those that need help. Again, we look at Jesus' example. In the beginning of this chapter, he sent others ahead of him to make them aware of his coming. He wanted to bring them healing and forgiveness. Also to the Samaritan woman in John 4:14, he offered water that she would never thirst again. In Mark 1:41, The leper called, asking for help. Jesus reached out and touched the leper. He said, "I will, be clean." By touching the leper, he exposed himself to the sickness. This would make him unclean. He would take all risk to himself that others could be saved. Again, if we look back in the chapter before the one we read in chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus sent out messengers ahead of him out to the Samaritans. He was going to their villages. And he sent out messengers to let them know that he was coming. And then he came to the villages of the Samaritans, seeking out who would hear and receive. And if you read in chapter 9, you'll see where some of them didn't receive him, and he moved on to other villages. But his desire was to seek out those who would hear him. He sought out those who by others would have been classified to be enemies, and he brought forgiveness and healing to them. In the Gospel of Mark and in Matthew, Jesus left each of us the Great Commission. Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So the question to us, to you, do you seek out others to tell the good news? How far, how hard do you seek out to tell others the good news? Are you moved with compassion? How much would you give that they could be healed? A lot of us will give to those that we care about, that we're close to, but even those that have wronged you, those that may be your enemy, how much would you give that they could find Christ? What kind of love do you have for others? Do you have that unconditional love? Even if they were to reject, make fun, or torture you, what kind of love would you have for that person? In closing, this time of the year, we're reminded a lot of God's love, His great love, as we celebrate His Son coming to earth and dying for us. Jesus sent 70 people out ahead of him to spread the news, to tell him that he was coming. And now, you and I, each of us, have been sent. He's coming again, and we are here to tell others of his coming. May we follow the example that Jesus left us. As we go through this holiday season, I often think about it, the joy, people are easier to talk to. Everybody's, it's a happy season of the year, and often you can find extra chances to talk to people. Let's take those chances, those opportunities, to be a neighbor to these people. Let us bring them to the inn that they may be healed. Brian, do you have a... 491. All right, 491 in the hymnary. If you want to stand, we'll pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your love, your example, Jesus, that you left with us as you walked here on this earth. And God, as we live this life, we pray that you would help us to seek out those, to show compassion and love to those we come in contact. And Father, we would ask you that you would open those doors and show us those people that we can impact. And God, I just pray that you would be with each one here as they go through this week. Pray that you would bless each one. Thank you again for your love. Thank you for your freedom that we have to worship you. And God, I just pray that you would bless each one. In your precious name, amen. Take the first and last verse.
Thank you.